Was your mom and dad, were your mom and dad able to really support themselves with the sailing? How did they really support themselves through all of these years?
Well, that's why they shot all this film. They were trying to figure it out. You know, they were out there trying to figure out how to make money with sailing, the sailing school, and they'd do little things with Awani here and there, taking scientists to uninhabited islands. And finally, Nancy actually figured it out. She bought the Edna, you know, the big trading schooner, built in 1916. It was riveted wrought iron. And this engine, in order to get it started, you had to open up the cylinder. There's a little port. You could open up the cylinder and you'd take a cotton swab of nitroglycerin and throw it into the engine cylinder and then crank it. And then she'll start right up, hopefully. But so it was a very dated ship, but she was the real McCoy. She was a sailing ship and she had a 100-ton cargo hold in her. And, you know, Nancy was able to buy her and put her to work in the South Pacific. It took Nancy a little while to find her route and her, you know, niche market. And then she found her place in the Cook Islands, because the main shipping company would service the southern group, all the larger islands where there was money to be made. But the northern group, with the smaller, more distant islands, were basically ignored. And so Nancy serviced them. And they didn't care if the cargo was a week late or a couple days late, because it arrived on a sailing ship instead of a powered ship. They were just happy to get cargo, period. And so she ran a cargo business with the Edna, sailing cargo in the South Pacific. I was on the delivery trip when the Edna was delivered to Nancy, when she took possession of it from Honolulu to the Big Island.
I had sailed the Goodwin back and forth time and time again with Nancy, and I knew the route between the islands very, very well, right? And I think I was 16 or 17 at the time. And, you know, mom was buying the ship. She had flown all the way to BVI to take a look at it, and Brad had made it all the way around to Hawaii, and he was in Honolulu. And, you know, it was the final leg to bring the Edna from Honolulu to the Big Island, where Nancy would take possession of it. So I sailed with the old owner and old captain, and across the channels and across Alii Nui Haha. We kind of avoided Alii Nui Haha directly. We went underneath Ka'olawi and came up to the Big Island from the lee. But you know, we saw some weather out there on this big ship, and it was his last voyage on it. And boy, man, he put her through her paces. And I
Was that
was
Brad?
that was Brad, yeah. And I was the, you know, I was the pilot. You know, I was to bring him into the Big Island and tell him where to go and everything. And we had everything balanced perfectly, reef in the main, reef in the mizzen, and the ship's sailing along, and the rails going under the water, and the scuppers are, they had these scuppers that would flap closed when the water tried to get in, but when the water's on deck and trying to get out, they'd open up and let the water out. So
Wow.
it'd always make this noise, ka-tunk, 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 ka-tunk. And so when the rail goes under, you know, water comes in over the top and then pours out of the scuppers off. And this boat was just careening along. I mean, it was like a freight train. And we were going through these big 15 to 20 foot swells, and it was just like plowing right through them. It was intense. And it was so beautiful. There was just one guy on the helm. It was so balanced, so perfect. I mean, it was just amazing, because there's just so much power in the wind and in the sails and in the ship, and it's just being controlled with one guy.